I'm back again. Praise God. You know, Brianna, my six-year-old, she's really becoming a little girl. She's full-fledged little girl. You know, Catherine, she's four. I still can baby her a little bit. I can, you know, hold her and, you know, that cuteness, you know, give her a little kiss on the cheek, you know, it's precious. But Brianna is full-fledged little girl. I don't know why I shared that, but I just thought I would share that. Praise God. Well, tonight we are going to talk about plain hurt. Plain hurt. It's kind of general common knowledge in the arena of football that in a game on Saturday or Sunday, you see football players playing. It is a rarity that who you see on the field is completely healthy. That they aren't nursing some kind of injury or some kind of nagging thing, something going on but they're playing through it. And it's general common knowledge that many football players play hurt. If they can go, they call it if they can go, then they get out there and they play, and it's kind of to be expected that you know, someone is nursing something, you know, whether it's a pain here or soreness over there, that something is going on with them, but yet they still play. They play through it. The coaching staff, the trainers, they all come and support them, give them everything they need, but they get out there and play even in the not so optimal circumstances. Yeah. Not very ideal time for me to be playing. If I sat down on the bench, sat this one out, people would understand. But then you have those who get up and get out there and they play the game. Emmitt Smith, the Hall of Fame running back for the Dallas Cowboys, back in the Cowboys' heyday, not now, but in their heyday in the 90s, he had what they would call an epic game, where he had a dislocated shoulder against the New York Giants, and he played anyway. Played through the pain, played through the hurt, and he had one of his best games of his career. One of his best games ever. He rushed for 168 yards with a dislocated shoulder. Plain hurt. And so it's general common knowledge that there's usually something going on with a football player whenever you see them play, whenever you see them cutting and doing these great things. You may not know until after the game that, hey, he was nursing a sprained ankle while you saw him doing all of this. Michael Jordan, epic game, playing through the flu. Plain hurt. And so it's general knowledge that happens. But that also happens with believers. That also happens with ministers. It happens with the children of God. And they have something going on in their world, in their life, where things are not optimal. Usually, everybody has something that they could point to in their life, a circumstance, if not more than one, where they say, that's not good. I got a pretty good reason here not to go on with what God has called me to do and who God has called me to be. I have a pretty good reason here why God may not use me, because my world is not all put together. Things are not perfect. And sometimes there's this perception that even those up front on the platform, even behind the pulpit, that everything in their life is hunky-dory. My life may be messed up, but their life has to be put together completely. No issues at all, nothing that they're dealing with. And that is a misconception. It's a gross misconception. That is not true. But yet you see them being used of God to sing, to praise, to minister, to lay hands on people, to teach, whatever it is. But they do it in spite of what's going on in their world, in spite of the circumstances that are surrounding them. Most believers you see doing the will of God are not doing it in absence of pain, but they are doing it in spite of the hurt, in spite of what so-and-so did to them last week, in spite of who said what about me. They aren't doing it in the absence of being hurt from something that happened a year ago, of dealing with something that's coming against them right now. They're doing it in spite. And the message today is, that's okay. You can still do and be who God has called you to be and do what God has called you to do, even if you're hurt.
Amen.
It's not by your power, not by your might, but by His Spirit, by His grace, that it gets accomplished. You can do the will of God, not in the absence of pain, but in spite of the pain. And I'm not just talking about physical pain here. I'm just talking about hurt, bad circumstances in your life. And so whether your plane is just praying, spending time in prayer for God, well, I really don't feel like it, but I'm going to get up anyway, and I'm going to pray. In your first 10 minutes of prayer in your own home may feel pretty uneventful and pretty boring because your body just feels tired. You don't feel like it, but you're doing it anyway because you know you need to do it. You know God has called you to pray, and so you pray even when you don't feel like praying. And people may see you praying or hear about you praying and say, oh, well, they're just so blessed. Their life is so blessed. Look at how they pray. And what you don't know is that they're praying through something. They're praying in spite of what's going on. Your play may be teaching, and you see them up there teaching. But what you don't know is that they're teaching in spite of what's going on around them. Maybe God has called you to share the gospel with someone, and you say, you know what? I have all these issues in my life. It's really not an ideal time for me to share the gospel. But the grace of God comes upon you and you share it anyway. Maybe you have a word that God has given you for somebody and you're thinking, man, I need a word. and yet God has asked you to give a word. Maybe your finances aren't where they need to be. Maybe your body doesn't feel well. You don't feel like sharing the gospel, but yet you play hurt. You don't feel like praying, but yet you play hurt. You don't feel like ministering, but yet you play hurt. You don't feel like going to work. Maybe people don't like you at work. Maybe you had a bad week at work. Maybe you haven't been doing too well at work, but yet you go because you know God has called you to be there. You know God would not want you to skip out. And so you play your life hurt. You don't do it in absence of the pain. You do it in spite of the pain. Maybe it's starting a business, and it's not an ideal time to start a business or to accelerate a business. Maybe finances aren't ideal. Maybe there's stuff going on at home with your marriage or your children that would not make it an ideal time to start a business, but yet you play hurt. You go on anyway. And this is really doing anything that God has called you to do. You will find the grace of God to do it if God has called you to do it despite of what's going on around you. Pastor Jim Lillard played hurt many times. He shared over and over again how many times he got behind the pulpit and was not feeling very well. What was he doing? He was playing hurt. There are times that he may have been going through things that we weren't even aware of. Maybe Sister Lou was aware, but we might not have been aware of. But yet he would still pray for people. He would still counsel people. He would still share with people. He would still give to people. And he himself may have had circumstances that were not ideal. Plain hurt. Maybe everything in your life is not 100% perfect. You're dealing with something. You're going through something. Something is nagging at you. Something is attacking you. Sometimes your playing hurt is dealing with lack. Sometimes your playing hurt is overcoming sickness. Sometimes it's dealing with a family situation. Sometimes it's going through hardship. Sometimes it's your child going the wrong way. Sometimes it's no one seems to like you. Sometimes it's simply, I don't feel like it. And yet you suit up, so to speak, and you play anyway. Sometimes you're playing, you're sharing with someone, you're ministering the gospel, and yet you're dealing with regrets from the past. The person you're sharing with has no idea what you're dealing with, but yet God is using you to minister to them. Sometimes the hurt is being persecuted by people. There are times as a believer where you're not going to feel, there's that word feel, anointed. You're Superman, but today you feel like Clark Kent. You just don't feel the anointing. And I've been here before, and I'll tell you this. One of the greatest feelings you can have is being used by God when you don't feel anointed. I was not feeling anointed today, and God brought somebody across my path, and God just used me to powerfully minister to them. And I didn't even feel like it.
That's right.
I didn't even feel anointed, but yet the anointing came up out of me. Because I was Superman, even though I felt like Clark Kent today. If you're having a Clark Kent day, guess what? God can still enable you to be Superman in somebody else's life. You can still play hurt. It doesn't mean you're not going through anything. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean that you have everything together, but it means that the grace of God is upon you to accomplish something. You have this treasure in this earthen vessel that the glory may be of God and not of you. That's a great feeling, to be used of God even when you don't feel worthy to be used. When you don't feel anointed, maybe you haven't prayed today. Maybe you haven't prayed all week. Maybe there's been so much stuff going on, your attention and your energy has just been sucked somewhere else. And you don't feel like you're very powerful, but yet you are. You have a treasure on the inside of you. And when God is ready to use you, he will use you in spite of you. God, you flow through me. You use me to minister life to someone else. And yet, I was dealing with something. I was hurt. I wasn't feeling it today. But yet, God, there's always a but God. If you're waiting on things to be perfect to start doing what God has called you to do, you'll never do it. If you're waiting on things to be perfect, for everything to be ideal, for you to have it all together, before you start doing what God has called you to do, you will never do it. The only reason that you should not do it is because God said don't do it. But don't let the reason that you don't do it be that things aren't perfect. That I'm not hurting in some way, that I'm not going through something. Don't let that ever be the reason why you don't do what God has called you to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, he's about to tell us the reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was a thorn given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. To keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times. So he tells us what the thorn is. It's a messenger of Satan sent to torment him. To buffet him, to come against him, and yet he still ministered. He still preached. He still evangelized. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he said, he didn't say, I'm not going to do it. But what he did say is that my grace, in that moment when you're being attacked, that my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. Yeah. I feel weak. I feel like I don't have it all together, and yet I still sense the power of God coming through me. I sense virtue has left me. Because it was never of me, it was always of God. He says, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses. No, you may not have it all together. Yes, you may have some issues. But as long as you are growing, developing, allowing God to work on you, cooperating with God, for it is he who is at work where? In you, both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. No, things may not be optimal. Yes, finances may be a mess. Yes, you may be dealing with sickness. Yes, you may have something going on with your family or with you in general. He says, most gladly, I will rather boast about my weaknesses. Why? So that the power of Christ may dwell in me. I won't talk about how I got it all together. If I do that, then I minimize my flow in the power of God. Because I say I can do it on my own merit, on my own accord. And the truth is, we all need the grace of God each and every day to do what he's called us to do and to be who he has called us to be. Verse 10, therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, meaning the things that are coming against me, meaning the things that are making things seem very inconvenient. Amen. Right now, yeah. Very frustrating right now. Therefore, I'm well content with these things, with insults, people talking about you, people insulting you, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties. He says, I'm well content with these things for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, when I feel weak, when I feel hurt, then I am strong. That's when the strength is maximized. When you are at your lowest, and yet God is still flowing, God is still moving, God is still using you. When I am weak, then I am strong. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 7. But we, somebody say me. But we have this treasure. What is the treasure? It is the anointing of God that he's put on the inside of you. It is the divine nature that he's put on the inside of you. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. Not a glorified vessel yet, but in an earthen vessel. Well, I don't like that vessel. I don't like the way that vessel looks. The treasure is not the vessel. The treasure lives inside the vessel. If there is $1 billion inside of an ugly vessel, you telling me you're not going to go get it? If there's $1 billion in a pile of manure, you telling me you're not going to go get it? Not every vessel smells good. Not every vessel is perfect. Not every vessel is Superman every day. Not every vessel is where they're going to be a year from now, as they grow, as they develop, as they mature, as God works on them. But it's not about the vessel. What we're going after is the treasure that we know lives inside of them, how God has graced them, how God has gifted them, how God has anointed them, how God is wanting to use them in my life right now. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. I'm going to read that again. So that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. This is not an excuse not to continue to grow and develop. This is, while I'm on my way, God can still use me where he wants to use me, how he wants to use me, and I don't have to feel unworthy because Christ has made me worthy. He has made me the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So that the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We, the vessel, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. You may feel perplexed about a situation in your life right now, but yet you're plain hurt. God will heal the hurt, but while that's manifesting, guess what? he can still give you the grace to play whatever your play is. And if your play is something as simple as, I don't feel like reading my Bible tonight, this morning, for whatever reason, but I'm going to do it anyway. God's given me the grace to do it anyway. I don't feel like praying. I don't think God will hear me after what I said to so-and-so, after how I talked to that person at the grocery store. I don't know that God's concerned about my prayer, looking at what's going on in my life right now. No, he said pray, so I'm going to pray. Whatever it is that he's called us to do, whatever it is that he's given us the grace to do, perplexed but not despairing, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus. Always carrying about in the vessel the dying of Jesus, so that the life, and that life more abundantly, may also be manifested. What you go through, the things that come against you, know that it is just an opportunity for you to decrease so that that life can start to come out of you and pour out of you. It may be trying to break you, but all it's doing is breaking up so that these little holes and glory's coming through them. Glory's coming through them. Struck down, but not destroyed. Verse 11, for we who live, that would be us, are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. When it feels like you are being handed over to death in your finances, in your family, in your marriage, when it feels like things are just coming against you, know that this is an opportunity now, within this moment, within this hurt, within this weakness, now for the life of God, the grace of God that is sufficient to now be made manifest. You should be looking around. I'm looking for the life of God to be made manifest. Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 1. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, woe is me, for I am ruined. What tends to happen for many people when they get into the presence of God, there is this woe that they feel, because they feel unworthy. First John would say it like this, that as we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us of all sin. Why did he put that statement within that verse while talking about walking in the light? Because as you walk in the light of Christ, you're going to see stuff in yourself. Stuff that needs to change. Stuff that should not be there. And there's going to be an opportunity to feel guilt and condemnation. So it's important that he tell us that as we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And as you see this stuff, don't worry about it. The blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing you of what you're seeing. The fact that you see it, the fact that you see it is an indicator that you are in the light. Because people that are walking in the darkness, they don't see it. So as you're walking in the light, some things may get exposed. But know that what's getting exposed, God's got that covered too. The blood of Jesus covers that too. And it's not an opportunity to stay there. But it's an opportunity to know that God's got me covered as I grow. God's got me covered as I mature. God has got me covered as I'm becoming who I already am. Then I said, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He says, I'm hurt, and I don't want to play. Then the Lord knows what you're thinking. I'm not worthy. Lord, find somebody else. Pick someone else. My life is in shambles at the moment. The cat don't like me. The dog don't like me. People don't like me. It's hard. I'm being persecuted. I'm being talked about. I feel mad sometimes. I feel jealous sometimes. I feel fill in the blank. Lord, not me. I'm hurt. I'll sit on the bench. Find someone else. God knows what you're thinking. What's the response? Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it. He addressed my concern. When God wants to use you, he will address the things you're concerned about. It's not an issue to being used. The blood of Jesus Christ covers. That's in the past. As long as it's in the past, it's in the past. It's not an issue because my grace is sufficient even in your weakness. Even with what you're going through right now, my grace is sufficient. God knows how to address what you're thinking the moment he wants to use you. Lord, I don't want to get that word. This person don't even like me. What will people think? And then somehow God works things out to let you know and remind you that he is working, that this is of him, that he's flowing through you, and that he will enable you to do what he's called you to do. He touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sins are forgiven. Your iniquity is taken away and your sins are forgiven. So in verse 5, his mindset, his mentality is, woe is me. Woe is me. I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips. And the neighborhood I live in, the people around me, boy. Look at verse 5 mentality, then look at verse 8 mentality. Verse 8, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. Now look, let's go back to verse 5. Verse 5, his mindset and what he's saying about himself is, woe is me, I am ruined, pick someone else, Lord. But in verse 8, he says, here I am, send me. What happened between verse 5 and verse 8 that would enable him to be this bold now? To be this confident? What happened was verse 7. Your iniquity is taken away and your sins are forgiven. When people know that God has forgiven them, it builds a confidence. I'm okay with the Lord. The Lord can use me. I may not be perfect. It's not an excuse for me to stay where I am, but I know that God can still use me. God can still flow through me. When you got a verse 7, you can become verse 8.
All right.
Mm-hmm. When you're constantly reminding yourself from the word of what Jesus did for you, you can have a verse 8 and not live in verse 5. Amen. Verse 5 needs to be in the past. You need to lay hold of verse 7 so you can walk in verse 8. Good. Know that God has made you the righteousness of him in Christ Jesus. Know that his grace is sufficient for you no matter if you feel hurt. Know that you can continue to go on and God can continue to use you no matter what your circumstances are if he wants to use you. Now, God may say, take a break. He may say, rest. But if God wants you in the game, don't deny him an opportunity to use you because you feel hurt. If God wants to use you, let him use you and let him take care of what's going on around you or what's going on in you. Many believers play hurt. They're not where they're going to be down the road today, but yet they're still playing. They're winning people to Christ. They're letting God use them wherever they are. They're saying that God is good. They're testifying of the Lord, even though they may have a lot of things going on around them. They're being a blessing to people. They're giving to people. They're helping someone carry their groceries. They're being nice to someone at the grocery store. They're laying hands on the sick when they see somebody sick. When somebody's hurting, they give them an encouraging word, and they may be hurting themselves. This is The Final Quest by Rick Joyner. Many of you have probably read this if you've been at this church for an extended period of time. This is on Pastor Jim's recommended reading list. And there's a chapter in this book called The Holy Mountain. And I remember when I first read this book, this stood out to me. Basically, the gist is God gave Rick a vision of the battle that's taking place between good and evil. And the different areas of the things of God were kind of contained in this mountain. And at the base level of the mountain was salvation. That was the base. And then you kind of went on to sanctification, thanksgiving, and praise, and to the greater, more mature things of God. And so he begins to describe this vision, and he talked about the soldiers or the believers that were fighting at the lowest level of the mountain compared to the believers that have grown and matured and developed and had ascended to the higher parts of the mountain. And he says, the soldiers who were still fighting from this level looked at me in astonishment with a deference that made me very uncomfortable. He says, I was filled for love with these soldiers, many of whom were women and children. Their armor was a mess, and they were covered in blood, but they had not given up. They were playing hurt, but they had not given up. Lord, I know some things need to change, but I've not given up. My circumstances are not the best, but I'm not giving up. If you don't quit, you win. It says they had not given up. In fact, they were still cheerful and encouraged. I told them that they were deserving of more honor than I was because they had borne the greatest burden of the battle and held their ground where they were. They seemed not to believe me, but appreciated that I would say it. However, I really felt that it was true. Then he goes on to say, and I'll pick up right here, wisdom led me down the mountain to the very lowest level, which was named salvation. You think that this is the lowest level, declared wisdom. But this is the foundation of the whole mountain. In any journey, the first step is the most important, and it is usually the most difficult. Without salvation, there would be no mountain. I was appalled by the carnage on this level. Hurt folk, hurt people. I was appalled by the carnage on this level. Every soldier was very badly wounded, but none of them were dead. They were badly wounded, but they were not dead. Does that sound like the scripture we just read? Perplexed on every side, but not crushed. Multitudes were barely clinging to the edge. Many seemed ready to fall off, but none did. They were hurting. They had an excuse not to play, but they played. Where they were, with what they had, with what they were able to muster, with the grace of God working in them, God was using them where they were, even though they were hurt. Barely clinging to the edge, many seemed ready to fall off, but none did. Angels were everywhere ministering to the soldiers with such great joy that I had to ask, why are they so happy? Well, these angels have beheld the courage that it took for these to hold on. I'm going to say that again. These angels have beheld the courage it took for them to hold on. It's been a bad day. It's been a bad week. It's been a bad year. It's been a bad 10 years. But I'm still here. I'm saying, here, my Lord, use me. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. You know, everything's not great in my life. You know, my finances aren't great. My family's, you know, my family is having some issues. You know, my body's not feeling well. People are talking about me. I feel persecuted. You know, everything's not great at work. You know, things are not ideal to start this business, Lord. But yet it takes courage to play hurt. To, even though I'm going through these things, I'm going to still get out there and play and do what God has called me to do, because I know that there is greater things down the road, things that God has in store for me, and people who God wants to bless through me as a vessel. These angels have beheld the courage that it took for these to hold on. They may not have gone any further, but neither did they give up. They will soon be healed, and then they will behold the glory of the rest of the mountain, and they will begin to climb. These will be the great warriors for the battle to come. But wouldn't they have been better off to climb the mountain with the rest of us? I protested, seeing their present condition. It would have been better for them, but not for you. By staying here, they made it easier for you to climb by keeping most of your enemies occupied. Very few from the higher levels ever reach out to help others come to the mountain, but these did. I'm going to read that again. Very few who are at the higher levels ever reached out to help others come to the salvation point of the mountain, but these did. Even when these were barely clinging to the mountain themselves, they would reach out to pull others up. In fact, most of the mighty warriors were led to the mountain by these faithful ones, people that were hurt, but yet still reaching out. Still sending cards, still sending words of encouragement, still praying for people, whatever they could do. Even in the middle of their pain, their hurt, they were doing it. These are no less heroes than those who made it to the top. They brought great joy to heaven by leading others to salvation. It was for this reason that all the angels in heaven wanted to come to minister to them, but only the most honored were permitted. Again, I felt shame for my previous attitude towards these great saints. Many of us had scorned them as we climbed to higher levels. Well, they need to get it together. You know, if they were doing right, their life wouldn't be like that. They wouldn't have these circumstances. Many of us had scorned them as we climbed to the higher levels. They had made many mistakes during the battle, but they had also displayed more of the shepherd's heart than the rest of us, because they were playing hurt. The Lord would leave the 99 to go after the one who was lost. These had stayed in the place where they could still reach the lost, and they paid a dear price for it. I too wanted to help, but did not know where to start. Wisdom then said, "It is right for you to want to help, but you will help most by going on to what you've been called to do. These will all be healed and will climb the mountain. They can now climb faster because of you and the others who went before them, both destroying the enemy and marking the way. They will join you again in the battle. These are fearless ones who will never retreat before the enemy." Sometimes things aren't going to be perfect. You're not going to feel 100%. But if, and there is an if there, because God may say, hold on, you know, recover here. But there all may also be that moment, that person that God brings across your path. And you say, "Lord, I am not in the mood to minister to anybody right now. But just go over and tell them this. Lord, I need some encouragement. I feel depressed. I feel like my world's coming in on me, and you want me to give them hope?" Yes. And the impact you can have, even in the midst of you being hurt, even in the midst of you, your circumstances and the things that are going on with you, you'll be amazed at what God can do through you if you're willing to play even despite the thorn in the flesh. It's true. Even despite the earthen vessel, even despite being perplexed on every side, even despite the persecution, even despite the people not liking you, even despite what's coming against you, you'll be amazed at the joy that you can bring to others and the hope when you let God use you, even when you're hurting. So the word tonight is, it is possible to play while you're hurt. If God wants to use you, if God wants to flow through you, then let him. It is not uncommon for every believer in this room right now to have something going on in their world, and yet they still show up. Yet they still come. Yet they still pray for people. Yet they still give to people. Yes, they still figure out a way to bless people. It's not uncommon. It's okay if your world is not perfect. Your world does not have to be perfect for God to use you. Your heart, though, has to be committed to him. Your heart, though, has to be open to him working through you and working in you. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Pastor Richard.
Awesome. Awesome word. Praise God. Playing hurt. That's not pretending that you're hurt. That's doing something when you're either incapacitated or just hurt. Good word, brother. I'm not going to re-preach it. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that it has penetrated our hearts. Father God, we receive it. the seed of your word. We receive it into our hearts, and I thank you, Father, that it takes root and it grows. I seal it with the Holy Spirit, that it will not be stolen from us, it will not be taken, but we will meditate on it daily. Holy Spirit, bring it back to us again and again and again, that we may meditate on it, to be the people who would do what you have told us tonight, what you have presented to us tonight, that we would become those people. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness and for your covenant that we enjoy with you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Well, we need to be a blessing to Brother Brian. He did well treading the corn, wheat, and all that good stuff. Let's throw him some handfuls on purpose and be a blessing to Brother Brian. We will have praise team rehearsal tomorrow night for all you praise team people, folk. And I guess I'm trying to go through everything. 6:15 on Friday morning, Brother Rob was having communion and prayer on Zoom. And then on Saturday night at 7:00, we'll have prayer meeting. And then Sunday morning, church with baptism to follow. And I think we've got 5 or 6 that have come forward, and I'm excited about that. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I call you all blessed of the Lord. No weapon formed against you prospers. The resurrection power of the Holy Spirit flows in you and through you, even to the point of quickening your mortal body, your physical body, to be alive, to be strengthened, to receive the life of God, the resurrection power of God. And everywhere you go, you are a light that shines in the darkness, and others see you and they are drawn to you. And that you are the sweet-smelling aroma of the presence of God in every place. And He always causes you to rise above and to prosper in everything you put your hand to. You are surrounded with divine favor, and you're taught of the Lord. So great is your peace. You are blessed to be a blessing. Go with God. You are loved. We'll see you at the next appointed time.